Drunk on Comics Special Edition. The Drunk Interviews from C2E2 2015. We had the chance to have a few beers with some awesome people in the comic book industry. For you in this episode, we have Sean Forney, the talented Ryan Lee, Cosmic Casey, and our favorite guys to hang out with at cons, the guys from Ink Whiskey who make those awesome flasks we talk about every week. Hopefully you guys have a good time listening to this podcast as much as we had chilling with these dudes.
So the after party continues, and we are here with a great friend of our show. This is Sean Forney. Sean, what's going on, man?
It's going. I thought I was going to bed, but apparently not.
No. You are staying with us until we can get this interview.
All right.
So, Sean, we've known you pretty much since, well, actually, we've known you before we started this, but we've, I'm getting petted now. We've known you for a long time, and there's a number of things you do beyond the fact that you are an amazing artist, but you do a lot of charity stuff, too, and actually, that's kind of one of the reasons why I want to kind of, like, bring this in tonight, so give a little light to what you do. So let's start with the art,
okay,
and then we'll move on to the charity stuff. So, Sean, what do you do?
Mainly for the last couple of years, I've been a colorist on several different projects. Most recently, I colored a book called Cyberines, created by Joe Martino. Worked with two different pencilers on the first issue. We're getting ready to work on the third issue right now. And just last year, I worked with Ben Miller and Corey Hampshire on Judges, that they ran a Kickstarter, it was successful. So I just found out today we're going to start working on issue two of Judges. And then the last year and a half or so, I've been working on Zen, the Intergalactic Ninja for First Comics with artist Murat Michaels.
Nice. Now, so what, when you're coloring, we've talked to a couple different people that color before. That's a little tougher than being able to just like throw down the pencils and go, here's my look, here's what I want. What is it like when you're coloring?
Lately, most of the projects have been a very quick turnaround. I have to meet a quick deadline on a lot of these. So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is trying to work with the different styles, trying to figure out, what can I do to add to what the penciler and the inker have already added to the page.
So do you have kind of your own signature style that you like to put on, or do you... Or do you, like, basically say, all right, I'm going to fit my style to each individual format that's on the front?
I think it's a little mixture of both. I think, yes, I have a distinct style that I like to use, but for each artist that I work with, I change it up a little bit to complement their work. So whether it be, I soften some edges or, stick with hard edges for breaks in the colors, things like that, I try to add that little touch that finesses what they've already done.
So one of the things that I always ask the colorist is, what made you turn into color besides just art? Like, what made you turn into...
And that's a great question, because Sean's art is fucking gorgeous. But so why go for color beyond the paycheck?
I guess the money talks, but
no colors versus pencils, because your pencils are beautiful, man.
It really did come down to the paycheck. It came down to I was getting more work that way. And a lot of my buddies were pointing out, all your colors are fantastic, blah, 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 send off some samples, do all this stuff. And I started getting work much quicker that way. I think it was also a little bit of there was less competition to go after work that way. Something I like doing is something I can do relatively quickly. When I was in school, I majored in drawing and painting, so I get to do a little bit of the painting. It's digital, but I get to use some of that stuff I learned in school All that came into play, and I get to work with a lot of very talented guys that I probably wouldn't have an opportunity to work with otherwise.
Do you still do some drawings, some your own sketches that you want to see go in that direction, or you feel like coloring is where you want to be?
I still want a pencil. That's what I started out in the industry wanting to do. So, you know, that's my goal for this year, is to work on getting some samples put together to get in front of editors and whatnot to try to pick up work that way.
So with the pencils, would you rather do covers or would you rather do sequential, or is it both?
I would love to do both. Right now, I think with most of the work I've been doing, I think I'm a little bit more geared towards doing like the cover and pinup type stuff. But I'd love to get back into actually telling a story and actually penciling some issues.
Is there any property that you have wanted to just be like, that is what I would love to be working on right now?
For the longest time, it's always been Spider-Man. I grew up, I was a giant Spider-Man nut.
Yeah, everyone's Spider-Man. That's amazing.
That's the thing that I've wanted to work on since I was a little kid. I think it'd be that, and I would love to do something with He-Man, because that was the other thing growing up. That was, you know, the first cartoon that I fell in love with and would, you know, run around the house playing with He-Man and, you know, all that kind of junk. So I would love to play in that playground.
One of the things I've heard about Spider-Man is that Spider-Man is actually, some people say it is, some people say it's not. So I'm curious on your take. Is Spider-Man the hardest character to draw because of the costume and the way that the webbing lines up on the costume?
I don't know. I hear a lot of people complain about that. I like it. I'm very meticulous when it comes to this stuff, so that part does not bother me. I guess I'm geared that way. I don't know.
Nice. So, all right. So now, you're also pretty involved in a charity.
Yeah.
When it comes to the comic community. So tell us about that.
Well, I've tried to be involved in a couple charities. The first one, the thing that really got me into trying to give back to the comic community, was the Hero Initiative. My best friend battled cancer for almost 5 years. Hero Initiative helped him out with everything that he went through. So that got me involved in trying to give to the Hero Initiative as much as I can. I try to contribute at shows if I can take collections or whatever. Whatever I can do to help them out, I try to do that. And
last year at Motor City, you were involved with something where you got a nice check.
Yes, yeah. My best friend, Josh Metters, like I said, he battled cancer for like 5 years. When he was doing pretty good for the last year or so before he passed away, we decided to set up a charity in his honor. It was something he wanted to give back to the community personally, and we've decided to keep it going. It's called Help for Heroes, and we are trying to help out comic creators battling cancer. You know, however we can do it monetarily, that's our goal. And yes, last year at Motor City Comic Con, Toyota gave our charity a donation of $5,000. So we're trying to figure out to get, because we are just getting the ball rolling with this whole charity thing. We're trying to get it off the ground, get it up, get it so we can help out creators that are in need. You know, whether it's, you know, if they're fighting cancer and they need help paying a medical bill, or, you know, something that the Hero Initiative can't normally help out with, we want to be there. We don't want to, like, step on their toes. We want to be there to help them out, too. So if they get a case that we can jump in and, you know, provide some extra benefit to, that's what we want to do.
I think that's one of the greatest things, because what a lot of people don't realize is that these creators, you know, people like you, and whether they're drawing for Image, Marvel, Dark Horse, Boom Studios, whatever, you guys are all freelance contractors. And so you don't have the same benefits. And so that's why I love these charities that are out there that support the guys that are doing the work that people like Tony and I and Kevin and Matt and the rest of our fans and people in our community love. I'm so thankful that there are people like you out there that are doing what you do to help out these guys. So, you know, that's one of the main reasons I want to talk to you. I love your artwork, but the fact that you're willing to step forward and say, yeah, we need to bring light to this, that means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to you too, but I want all of our listeners to know about that.
I appreciate you guys you know, getting the information out there, because that's what we need. We need to make people aware of it and let them know that, you know, there are places they can go to help out.
Do you have any websites or any places that people can, that are interested to know more of the cause?
We've got a Facebook page set up for Help for Heroes. It is, if I can remember this right, it's facebook.com/HFH Comics. You can go there, check out all the information, shows we'll be at, how to make a donation, and those things.
All right, so obviously we're here at C2E2, but by the time this comes out, obviously people can't come see you. But what else? What other shows do people can people come see that? Talk to you more about them there.
We're gonna have a setup again at Motor City Comic Con. I'll be set up in Artist Alley, and Help for Heroes will have their own table. We'll have all the information available. We'll be selling items and whatnot to create funds to help out people. And we'll also have a setup at Akron Comic Con later in the year in November, where we'll have the same information and stuff.
Awesome. So people want to help out, they can do that. People want to come out and check out your art, they can come see you. And Sean, where can they find you personally for your art?
SeanForney.com, and it's got a link to Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and whatever else is out there.
Alright, dude. We love you. Thank you so much for being part of the Drunk Icon.
Thank you for
family.
Taking the time out from drinking right now to talk to us.
And it's time for a refill. So, alright.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you guys soon.
Are we going? Okay.
No, we're not recording.
Alright. So, after hours with the long-winded Ryan Lee.
The guy who has almost no voice left, and we're like, fuck you, Ryan, you're getting on the podcast.
It's working. I have this spring break voice. I'm ready to go.
Sexy.
No, you have the smooth, slow jams of Ryan Lee.
I think at first I couldn't talk at all, and now it's like dropped a register, and I think this is like the death throes of my vocal cords just in general. I don't know if I'm coming back.
Can't wait till we do karaoke later.
Well, I'm only
doing Rod Stewart songs today.
Oh, come on. Pick something that actually has real music. So, all right. So, Ryan, we talked, for regular listeners, we talked earlier this week on a regular edition podcast about the Inhuman Annual Number Zero, which, beautifully, beautifully written. The art was, there's some work that could be done. But
I mailed it in. I did it in about 3 days. You know, I like to wait to the end.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so, no, we're super excited. By the way, we are in the Windy City, and our audio is going to shit right now, but here we go. Oh, that's better. So, no, Ryan, so tell us, I mean, this is your first, full-length Marvel piece. Now, I know we talked to you, you had a small little piece at the end of the Uncanny Inhumans number zero,
yes,
which I know you drew after you did this one, but it came out before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did that in a couple days. It was kind of a fast turnover on that, but yeah, it was awesome to get published before my other one. It was a little teaser.
Yeah,
a big one.
So I mean, what's it like going from self-publishing to working for the largest publisher out there?
Yeah, it's a little strange. I mean, I had done a couple covers and some pinups and some smaller art and some of the for smaller publishers, and then done the webcomic. But to go from that and then I get to draw a lot of Spider-Man in an issue, it's absolutely insane. It's like a dream. I honestly can't believe it happened.
I know. Since the giving you an interview a year ago, you are here now. I mean, I cannot believe how much we've pulled you up.
You guys really have. I appreciate that. I can't wait to see what's next for me from you guys.
President of the United States of America. You're welcome.
I'll take it. No, I won't. I won't take that. I don't want
it. So one of the things we talked about in the podcast that really blew both Tony and I away, that, you know, we hadn't discussed together previous to recording, were the sound effects that were drawn in. And it wasn't until I went and looked at your original pages to confirm you drew in the sound effects. It wasn't the letter, which, I mean, letters are great for that, but
yeah, absolutely.
You drew in your sound effects. Was that something that you wanted? Was it in the script, or was it a little combination or collaboration between you and Loveness, or what was it?
The actual sound effects themselves were called out in the script, but I mean, I just decided, I made a conscious decision to add those in there. Sorry.
Sorry, the wind is getting to us because we are in the windy city. I think I got it a little bit better.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I always love when they're kind of integrated into the artwork rather than having them just slapped on there. I mean, sometimes they just look like a sticker. You know, it's neat when they kind of have a little bit of the flavor of the page if they're made out of rocks or... I mean, a lot of guys have been doing it lately, too, and I just love seeing that there's kind of a... I don't know, it was kind of a lost art form for a while because I think lettering, just digital lettering, was so easy. You could just pop it in.
It's gorgeous. I mean, like, I'm picturing the one panel in particular. Jesus Christ, it is late at night.
Way, Tony.
Yeah. No, in particular, where you've got, you know, what is it, Red Falcon? Or Red Bird, sorry.
No,
Red Falcon.
No, Red Raven.
Yep. Yeah, Red Bird is that's a DC thing.
Hey, these are all birds of prey. It's close.
Yeah. But where Red Raven is hitting Medusa with his wing, and you see that like thing, and it's drawn in, and it's so beautifully put in there that as a reader, you get it, you hear it, you feel it. But you're not drawn away from the artwork, and I love that.
Thank
and I
was you. Like, yeah,
I'm like, holy shit! And this is one of the reasons. It's the little things that you've always done. Where Tony was bitching, you know, on the regular podcast, he's like, "Ryan's not our little secret anymore. That we can go get relatively inexpensive commissions."
I was like, he was the person that we could like say, "Here, would you draw something?" And he's just like, "I'm little old me. No one's got me yet. So sure, why not? What do you want?" Now people are going to start coming to you, and we won't get our fucking favorite art that we know you can draw. We knew who you were before fucking Marvel.
Well, right. Tony's mostly pissed because it twofold. It's going to cost him more,
yeah,
and he's going to have to wait in a queue.
Not gonna. You know the same fucking thing, though. You also know that our talented friend that we knew beforehand has now been seen from the big.
But the bonus for us is now I can go sell all those commissions I got from him before.
Exactly.
And now I can get a like just one.
Why would you want to sell his stuff though? I cherish his art.
But you know,
he was my first person that I ever got a commission from, and that is. It's right up on the painting mural at my house, which is weird for listeners to know.
Oh, Ryan, have you ever heard about the mural in Tony's dining room?
What is it a mural of?
Mountains
with trees, like almost Endor with mountains in the background. It is so fucking weird when I bought this house that it is so awesome that this mural was painted within my dining room that I almost don't want to touch it, but I've had a lot of friends, a.k.a. Derek, say, "We gotta have some artist friends just start drawing shit on there."
So Ryan, when you come to Grand Rapids,
actually gonna start doing it. My artist friends that come to my house need to just fucking doodle something up to make it more.
I would love to do that. That would be amazing.
In the foreground, I want like Chewbacca peeking around a tree,
of course.
But then like Optimus Prime fighting Megatron on top of the mountain in the background.
Mm-hmm. Check. Yeah,
I'm gonna make that the new artist alley of our studios, because that's where we have it at my house. So
that's a great idea. So, I've actually heard like Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue DeConnick, they have a hallway in their house where everyone who comes over, all their artist friends, draw on it. But I like that you have a mountain already set up. I don't even have to draw a mountain. Finally.
Yeah. No. The background is already there.
So that is. I've never thought about doing that, but that is going to happen now. All of our conventions close to home. You heard it here first.
Words that don't speak.
We're gonna do that.
So Ryan, let's go back to the whole Marvel thing. I mean, like, what's it like? You know, I mean, like, all of a sudden, like, you've got a shot.
Yeah.
They're giving you a whole fucking issue.
Yeah.
That's a big task, man. I mean, that's got to be a lot on your plate.
It was. I basically had to just knuckle down with my schedule and. And just kind of like knock it out every day. It's just a job, you know.
Now your style, because I mean we've known you from your self publishing days.
Yeah.
Tell people a little bit about your self published comic, which I know is still out there as a web comic.
Yeah, The Naturals. Written by my friend Chris Mewis, who basically, I mean, it's basically his story. I helped develop some parts of it and do characters and stuff, but most of it is Chris's idea. But yeah, it's just a kind of a World War One, World War Two period superhero story. It's fun, kind of dark.
What was stylistically, like, what were the differences between doing the Naturals to doing Inhumans?
Oh, it was like night and day. I don't know. Maybe it was just the pressure of having to do something for Marvel, but I mean, I felt
you didn't have the pressure doing it for your friend in your own work.
There was a little bit of pressure.
I'm just going to fuck off, but now I'm getting paid for this. I'm going to do it right.
Well, no. Yeah. The thing is that there's still the same amount of detail in both. There really is.
Yeah.
But there is a significant style and look difference between the two books and you know, what you do in your commissions and what you do there. Yeah. So, I mean,
I went with kind of a cleaner style on this. I've been kind of playing around with it a little more. And when I did my Marvel samples, that was kind of how my samples were. They're a little bit cleaner line. So I just figured, since that was what he approved and he liked, that was probably what I should do the issue in, or else he could be getting something and being like, well, what is this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you still have, I mean, you've still got that kind of little bit of a scratchy line. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's not that fully rounded, clean, like clean edges to it. I mean, there is kind of that little bit of a dirty style to it, which I love.
Yeah, I mean,
that's definitely not Marvel, like Marvel House style by any means.
Not at all. I mean, I don't use a brush. I use nib pens for the most part. I kind of like that scratchy little hash line. I don't know. It's just how I've always drawn. Instead of using like going thin to thick with like a single brush stroke, I've always kind of built up the thin to thick with like a single pen.
Yeah.
So, and then from that, it ends up looking this scratchy, sloppy line.
Well, you know? And
that's how it turns out.
I know in the commissions there's a lot of the I don't even know what to call it, but like a lot of like the little like ink splash, like the splatter, like it's almost like on a pen and you're flicking it.
Yeah.
You know, and I see a lot of that still in this book.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, you're still keeping that.
Yeah, I like to do a lot of those little tick lines and, you know, I add a lot of texture in there for sure, especially when it's more open line like that. I end up kind of drawing things out, like drawing all the seams and buttons and, you know, things that you don't always have to draw depending on what your art style is. But I think when you're doing like a highly detailed style, it's cool to see.
Like you put, like you know? You are like putting yourself in the ink. Like you are like being honest to who you are in there. Well, you are one of the most honest artists that we've ever met. That's why we love that you said that you were giving us two free of those original pages. We're so honest.
That's right.
Yes.
Very
thank
honest.
You. Yes. And to go back on that makes you the most unhonest artist we've ever met.
Yeah. I would Tony, never. Tony I would never go back on that word.
Tony loves free shit, but
we all do.
But no. So like. Now, here's the other thing, because you did pencils and inks on this.
Yeah.
Now, I know how you normally do your pencils,
mm-hmm.
and I know how you normally do your inks.
Yeah.
Was everything still by hand, or did you do digital on it?
I do. I got a Cintiq last year, and I've been slowly using it more and more. And it's easier to like lay out a page, because I spend a lot of time now, especially in this issue, strictly on the storytelling. Like, the finish, the inks, I'm a lot faster at that now, but it's sped me up a lot being able to like move a panel around digitally. I do all my layouts like digitally now.
Okay.
So, it's easy. And then I just print it out and then I'll ink on top of that. But my pencils, even now, like in comparison to a lot of other people's, they're not super duper tight, you know, but I'm inking myself. So I know where to embellish everything. You know, if I was to give my pencils to an actual inker, it would have to be a lot tighter, unless I really wanted that inker to like make it look like whatever personal style they want to make it look like. You know.
Now, I apologize because I don't remember who did colors off the top of my head.
Colors were done by a Marvel exclusive colorist, I believe he is. His name's Nolan Woodard.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Those colors popped. Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things on that book. I mean, it's like I've seen the original pages and they are fucking stunning.
Yeah.
And then you look at the printed work and you're like, holy shit. I mean, it did not, it like, and I don't mean this in a negative way to the colorist, but it didn't add, but it also didn't detract. And I think the fact that it didn't detract is probably the hardest thing when it comes to colorists, because for me, I'm one of those guys that I love the black and white line work.
Sure.
And yeah. So, but oh my God, those images popped off the page.
It became something else entirely when I saw those pages coming in. I mean, I color my own work sometimes, and I was like, I would have never in 1 million years had the balls to pull off some of the things that he did in that book. His colors were outrageous, but they all harmonized. I thought he did a really, really nice job. I was pretty impressed. And it's cool to see someone take your stuff. And, like, normally you might have an inclination to be like, man, that's not what I would have done. I would have changed this here. But I was happy to see what he did. And my eyeballs just popped out of my head. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I've just been, like, so silent on this whole thing. Because I keep imagining...
Because he wants free shit.
No, not free shit. Because I just think of how my house value will go up when all these artist friends start drawing in my house. And I go, and this whole wall right here, you don't understand, people, is $1,000 in itself. You got Ryan Lee who started with this part. And then we got this person here. And then blah, blah, blah. So... I love that my house is now going to be the nexus of this fucking wall.
I'm going to see you with a drywall knife taking those out if nobody wants, carving actually, it out.
Did you guys ever hear, though, like when they took down the Wildstorm office out in California, when they're like, all right, we're done with the Wildstorm office, there was a giant, like, 6x6, like, drawing from Jim Lee they cut out. And they were selling on eBay. And the only reason I know this is my girlfriend is a giant Wildstorm fan.
Yeah.
And she's like, can I get that back to my house?
That's crazy. How much did it go for?
I don't know.
It was tens of thousands.
It wasn't that much.
Really?
Are you serious? Actually, it was one of those things where it was more like you had to look at the shipping as to whether or not you wanted it. Because, you know, when Wildstorm went down, you know, it's like, yeah, it's Jim Lee and all that. But still.
So. I mean, had they had your name attached to it,
yeah.
Yes, we're talking about tens of hundreds of thousands. So, when I sell my house, anyone that listens that may be interested,
of all the
we
Lee
will have
artists,
some Ryan Lee art
yeah.
in there for you to already buy.
Of all the Lee there artists that are out there, the only one you want is Ryan Lee. So, all right. So, Ryan, tell people where they can find you.
Oh, man, I'm all over the place. Let me just bust out my business card read off
the... At Riley Art, Ryan Lee Art, Ryan Lee Art, Ryan
yeah,
Lee
it's
Lee, Lee.
Yeah, yeah. It's
at Tony's house, because it's going to be there on
Tony's
the
wall. Tony's wall in the mountains. at Riley Art on Twitter. I'm pretty active on that. Instagram, Ry Lee Art. I have my blogspot, ryrileyart.blogspot.com, and ryrileyart.deviantart.com, and ryrileyart.tumblr.com.
And then there's ryrileyart.com.
There's like a million of them.
But you can also find them in the upcoming...
Inhuman Special, number one.
No, not upcoming.
It's already out there. Now. That's what I was hoping that you're going to say the next thing that you already know. You have some shit. You know some things that are coming out of the pipeline.
I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
He's got this shit-eating grin. But he's smart enough not to say.
Same thing last year when we were trying to talk to him. So what do you got coming down the pipeworks? And he goes, well, I don't really have anything. You know shit.
You're the worst liar.
Yeah, you're the biggest, like, safe. For us. Everyone else, we can always get a little bit out. You, like, keep it, you hold it,
and then we all of a sudden say,
holy fuck, Ryan, you had this going, you couldn't give this exclusive.
But you know what? At the end of the day, it's all right, because we're getting free pages of original art.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't renege on an offer. You guys know this about me. I'm the most honest person in comics.
Ryan, dude, honestly, though, we are so happy to see this shit, though, for you.
Thank you. You guys are awesome. We've been,
you know, just screaming your praises forever, going, why the fuck is this guy not working on a major publisher someplace already?
I really appreciate
and
that.
Glad to see it's out there. And,
It's a dream come true. It's not like one. It absolutely is a dream come true.
It's going to keep continuing, though, and that's why we can't wait to say... oh my God, you did this, or oh my God, you did this. It's
and it's not a we knew this guy when, it's we made this guy who he is.
Yeah, it's documented.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with your talent or any of that. Mm-hmm. Like you actually were our very first interview ever.
Yeah.
And so yeah.
And we will always hold you to that because you were.
Yeah,
and
that's crazy. I didn't realize.
Yeah,
that.
And so
we reminded you all the fucking time.
That's right.
And yeah, it's so and crazy. Then the last time we did an interview, we reminded you, and you said the same fucking thing. Just like, oh my God, was I?
It's just crazy. It doesn't seem right.
Yeah, well,
you guys seem like you've been around forever.
Well,
honestly,
all we'll say is you're welcome, and people go check Ryan out online.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you guys are awesome.
All right, guys. Ryan, thank you so much, man. The wind is continuing to blow, and hopefully
we need to go get some more beer. So
yeah, it's awesome. But Ryan, congrats! Can't wait to see more.
Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. Thanks for championing me.
Bye. See you guys.
Okay, hey. Put your what pants I'm going to do back is I'm going to get off the phone. I'm going to look at stuff.
I'm recording this too.
Okay, then I'm going to text you to order me something. Order me something, I will go there.
One more left.
Get food, pick up booze.
You're making more work for yourself. I'm editing right now.
I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm...
Get off the phone!
Oh my God, I am getting so yelled at by the most hottest girl here, so I need to get off the phone right now.
Dude, come back to bed. Go back to bed, baby.
So much more editing for you.
Right, I know.
Let's do it.
Did you really start recording?
So the party continues here at CTV2.
Woo!
Oh, Jesus.
Where's the girl with the wine?
I don't know where the girl with the wine is. This. Chris, sit down. We're doing a recording.
There's a girl with an interview.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were talking.
That's Chris Eno. We're talking to him later.
Woo, Chris! Have fun!
Alright, so we're here with Ms. Cosmic Casey, a.k.a. Casey Danielle Pierce.
Hello.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh my God, you're drunk again?
Put your pants on, asshole!
Okay.
Yay! Hey, what's up, Ryan? So Casey, Ms. Pierce, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I'm not super comfortable with the way you're leaning into the microphone.
This is my horror author voice.
Your horror voice?
And this is my Cosmic Casey voice.
So, wait. I'm pretty sure that most creators have their horror voice, because we also have our horror podcaster voice.
You want to hear my demon voice?
Yeah.
You're listening to Derek Becker on Drunk on Comics.
Oh, Tony, wait till you hear this one. Because I got the headphones, he doesn't. But all right, so Casey, Pieces of Madness.
Yes, sir.
What is it?
Pieces of Madness is a five-tale horror anthology of the insane, cultist, and paranormal. Sort of a Clive Barker meets Twilight Zone, if you will. It's definitely a gore piece. So if you like things nice and gory and a little fucked up, then you'll love it. And short stories are great to market because it's not a commitment like a novel. I think that's why we're seeing such an uprise in comics. Not that comics aren't great anyways, but, you know, people don't have time to commit to a novel anymore. But the art of the short story, I mean, it captivates you in just a few pages. You got a lot of variety.
Well, and this is a bit of a diversion from our normal path, which is always comics, and this is a straight prose novel.
Paperback, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so I've read three of the five so far.
Okay.
And apparently my favorite is not the primary fan favorite so far.
Your favorite's Bestia?
No, my favorite was Luke.
Luke, yeah. Actually, Luke is one that, it kicks off the anthology, but that is the first time I've ever heard that being a favorite. I mean... Well,
I am the weirdo, so...
No, it's cool, though. You know, the fan favorite usually is His Majesty. I did hear Bestia at one point, or Sins of the Father, but, you know, if you find... Lindsay, she's licking the window.
Window licker.
If you find any of these entertaining at all, I'm very flattered.
No, it's This is one of these things where, like, you know, I mean, normally Tony and I, like, if we have to read words, we pretty much need pictures with them. And so
Playboy is the best thing for us, but
okay.
If it's wait, not that,
are you reading tattooed titties or what?
No.
It says Mo.
No, those girls' tattoos always say respect.
Yeah. Cosplay is not consent.
I haven't seen that tattoo yet, because normally...
Oh, you haven't? Allow me to show you.
No.
It's going to take me a minute.
Put Tony's pants back on. Yeah. So, all right, so what prompted you to do this, Stace?
You know, long story short, Tony Maiello of Rockin' Ink Studios...
No, I want the long story. Not long story short. Like, tell me the long story.
Long story short...
Casey, I got a better idea.
Whose interview is this?
Yeah. We'll see you, Tony.
What'd you use for mustache wax? Jizz? Get some old from here. So anyways, long story short, Tony Maiello of Rockin' Ink Studios was a fan of my blogged sci-fi, The Prophecy Effect, which is on CosmicCasey.com, both of K's. And he said, do you think you could do horror? Now, from sci-fi to horror is actually an easy transition, especially for me.
To go to a horror?
Because you can't hear this, but you know I'm doing a signal right now.
She's showing him one digit.
Because the only difference between science fiction and horror is you take out the science and you don't make it better for the main character, boom, you have a horror. And I found a real nice home in that. So it was familiar territory to me, and I wrote the first story, and I'm like, I can do this. You know, I was confident, and I enjoyed it.
Nice. Well, this is nice for me, for, you know, the fan of your normal sequential art story. This has been a really nice change of pace for me, too, where it's like, all right, cool. I'm going back into the prose. I'm going back into the story building where my imagination is building the visuals. And you've done a great job with this. So.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Loving it. Now, I'm only, you know... 3/5 of the way through the book, So you could still break my heart. But I'm based on the first 3/5, I think you're doing all right.
I never break your heart, Derek.
Well, yeah, they all say that. So
that's the name of the song on my R&B album. Drops next month.
What's the name of the song? I'll Never Break Your Heart, Derek?
Yeah.
That's a terrible song title.
It's not about you.
It has Derek in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So... All right, so Casey, where can people go and find your book?
You can find it on Amazon or rocketinkstudios.com. And you can also find me at the next comic convention, which will be Motor City.
Motor City Comic Con? What? You mean the one that happened in May 15th, 16th, and 17th at the Suburban Collection Showplace in beautiful Novi, Michigan?
Yes, that's the one! Oh, my God!
Oh, my God, that's so amazing.
If you don't even read this book, you just need to talk to this girl. She is the most... amazing person around the con besides us. Aww. That you will find. She will come, she will talk to you, she will do whatever you want. She's there.
Especially whatever you
especially
want.
The after party hours.
And after you talk to her, Tony would like the mustache wax.
Yeah. I don't have a witty comeback for that.
That's all right.
I'm not drunk enough. I'm so disappointed right now.
That's all right. And you've been great. You haven't even sworn once yet this year. However.
Fuck, you're right.
Oh, shit. Damn.
Fuck, canuck, screw a kangaroo. Finger banging orangutan. Life is but a zoo.
All right. On that note.
We're ending it.
We're out, kids. Go check out Cosmic Casey.
Thank you so much. This is my favorite podcast.
It's the
mainly because I've been on it a lot.
Yeah, you have. All right, guys. Come
I make you look good.
I make everyone look good. You make me look better, though.
Oh, look at you. Look at you.
I know. All right. Time to go suck up to some real guests.
Oh, bye.
Up and down, fluctuating.
Yeah. Fuck this. We're starting to record right now. Awesome. I don't even care.
Can we cuss? Is that okay?
No, you can't fucking swear at all.
Okay.
All right, this is probably going to be the best part of the entire fucking con right now. Oh, shit, I swear again. God damn it. Fuck. Damn.
Fuck.
We're here with...
Tits.
Boob.
We're here with Boobs.
I couldn't think of a swear word or
something. I'm Boobs.
We're here with the guys from Ink Whiskey. And, hey, first off, cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Hey.
Big.
Clink.
Can you hear the clink right there?
Well, no, it's a can. I can't hear the clink anyway.
Well, for everybody listening, we just clinked.
Yeah, we... totally off the subject, but I don't give a shit because we're going to have fun. Does it bother anybody else when they go, I cheersed him?
If there's no way that you can use cheers.
What about texted?
Like past.
Texted?
I texted you.
Yeah, that I'm okay with.
I text you. Cheers to cheers.
But,
him.
Like, we just...
Cheers?
What'd you just do?
I don't know.
Yeah, we just did a cheers.
Right.
We cheered. It's a proper way to say that, I guess.
But to say that we just cheers.
It's the same thing as saying... When you time something, no, you multiply it. It's that same. Like I get really fucking anal about this.
What's
the
formal version of cheers?
We just cheered. Well, the formal version is not a sports bar. It's like a nice little restaurant. Everybody still knows your name though. It's cool.
It's a Sam and Diane thing. Times is to multiply. Cheers is to
toast.
Toast.
I think so.
We toasted.
Should we toast?
We should toast.
Toast.
Cheers!
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 Oh,
cheers.
Cheers.
I'm
going to
toast to cheers.
All right, so guys, we are here with Ink Whiskey. Like, literally the coolest fucking sponsor we've ever had. We love you guys. And more importantly, if we're going to drink, I got to bust out my own flask.
Oh, yeah.
This is my original from last year. It's getting a little worn.
It's getting a little worn.
Drunk Hunt is the best one, I feel.
No, Fine Ale Fantasy is the best one.
I was going to say, that's actually my new favorite. And
What's that?
Fine Ale Fantasy is my new favorite. It actually is starting to...
It's quickly becoming like 10% of our annual sales. Like, from the moment that you...
You're welcome.
Yeah.
We owe you everything.
Yeah, we owe you.
Which I would love to take 100% credit for that, but... At Motor City last year, Motor City Comic Con, which that's our home convention. And we're there, and it's the first time that we had, like, just a handful of your flasks just to show off.
Yeah,
and we're there, and my buddy's like, oh, my God, these are great. And I'm like, yeah. I said, my game, though, growing up was always Final Fantasy.
Yeah, which is weird that I had that.
Same.
And so... So I'm like, but I can't figure out a name. And he goes, give me a day. Half a day most. And he walks away. I turn around and he's like, Derek, I'm talking 20 seconds max. He goes, it's beer, but I know. Fine Ale Fantasy. I'm like, that's it. It's fucking it right there.
Do you want to know what it was before you guys suggested that to us?
What's that?
You want to know what it was? We had one planned out already before you suggested
that,
but it was really bad. Final Pub Crawl.
Yeah,
it was really bad.
We are embarrassed about it. Don't be mistaken.
But yeah, exactly.
We've been telling folks at the booth, like, for every successful like flask that made it on the truck, there was like 50 like terrible ass ideas. Yeah. Just like horrible.
We actually, before we came up with Kegaman, which was suggested by an attendee at C2E2 last year, David, he's a big Mega Man fan. He had a whole spreadsheet. Like, we had Excel spreadsheets with a bunch of alcohols in one, like, yeah, Google Docs, whatever. I mean, hey. But it was a bunch of, one column was like all like these various like alcohol adjectives, sort of, and the other side was sort of like rhymes with,
I had nouns and adjectives, and I was just trying to like
combine them together. And then this kid comes up and he was like, you guys should do Mega Man. We're like, I know, it's been laborsome. And then he was like, what about Kegaman? And like, we just lost our shit. We just peed my pants and roll around.
Well, those are some of your newer ones, though. Let's go back to the beginning. For many people that don't know the legend of Ink Whiskey,
right,
and why that name even is
Ink Whiskey. Or the legend of drink.
Why we call it Ink Whiskey? You want to know what?
Well, everything. Well, we want to know
already
a lot.
Go ahead. The podcast isn't long enough for this.
We don't know why.
It's not short enough.
I got 10 hours of footage and unlimited battery. Spill it.
All right. So, June 1st, 1993.
That's Mommy and Daddy got together.
There's some Barry White, a little bit of,
pink Moscato. I don't know what's happening.
I think it was a port.
Basically, the short and dirty of it is that I thought it was cool when I was forming the LLC. And I don't know, it was like this thing in my head. I was like, those two words together are super cool. In hindsight, and even currently, it's a terrible name for our product. It's absolutely dreadful.
It means nothing.
It means nothing. Like, there's...
To me, it means that Matt wants to be a great writer someday and wants to, like, incorporate...
Using a humanities major.
when you drink, you get creative, and then you write down. Sort of like, you know how Hemingway said, write drone.
Using his associate's degree,
sober, like sort of deal.
Oh my god!
For me, I think it's like a tattoo bar.
That's what I've heard too.
What everyone thinks, which
Hemingway
is terrible. Like,
imagine thinking, right?
Okay, like, well, you're just like think. Geeky stuff. Cool. Like, that makes sense. Like, if we called ourselves Bartendo, which would be a way better name.
Yeah. It's too late.
We've been in too many blogs. There's too much SEO around ink whiskey.
Well, and the great thing is like, you guys could, like, revamp later, and you could be Bartendo 64. You know, like the upgrade, and then Super Bartendo.
Yeah. Super Bartendo.
It's like we're going to get more bigger than brands that have rebranded. Like,
I feel like we're too, like...
It's not true.
David, from the get-go, like right after the successful Kickstarter, November 2013, he said, hey guys, we should change the name. This has nothing to do with anything. And I was like, oh, we can't. We just got successful. And I was just yelling and stupid. And then
a year and a half later.
Yeah, 17 months down the road.
You see these lines?
Still have it rebranded.
He's 19 years old now.
What would Hemingway do?
It's a beautiful 19-year-old, Matt.
Maybe we will. When we launch the rest of our barware line, maybe we should rebrand at that moment.
You're giving away company secrets now, Matt.
Maybe we shouldn't do a business plan. We should do an interview.
I want to mention, I don't know if there's any actual whiskey currently. Like, we're all drinking beer, right?
In the flask? What
it's
do you
in
have?
The flask. Crown Royal.
And Malibu.
Oh, right.
We just want everybody to know.
Okay.
I don't know how Malibu got into this.
Is there really I thought it was a joke.
Okay. No. Malibu. Actually, I think I might have been out on a date and brought it out.
Hey,
wait, with who?
Tony.
Is she sweet? Is she nice?
No, but yeah. He is. Wait.
Sweet as Malibu.
Wait, here's the worst part.
Is they nice?
This is now basically turning into the second time this weekend when we've been discussing what goes in your flask, how you're pouring it, how you're drinking it, and I guarantee you the phrase tiny vagina is about to pop out here.
Oh. Fuck you guys. I drink what I... like to drink.
I
and that's cool. Like and like, you know.
Let me get you some rosé, man.
And later he's gonna take his Chuck E. Cheese tokens and he's gonna buy a little pencil topper.
Hey, I've done Malar every night this week, so
yeah,
fuck you guys.
Yeah.
He's so strong.
No, fuck you, Derek. Fuck you guys.
Have you had any Malar since you've been here in Chicago?
You guys started talking about this yesterday. I need to know what the fuck this is.
It's the worst shit in the world.
It's a liquor that
historically what it is during Prohibition. I don't know if it was that they could do it, like, because it was some medical loophole or something, or if that was just people. That was the only liquor that was being made. But it's some grapefruit. It's a grapefruit flavored liquor.
That's yeah, tastes like grapefruit.
Like their tagline is basically in a nutshell, like, nobody likes this. But if you think you can handle it, go ahead. Like, I don't know what it is exactly.
So it's like Jägermeister. People
oh, Jägermeister is wonderful.
There's people out there that like Jägermeister. There's nobody out there that likes Malort.
There are people out there that like getting beat with a whip, too. It doesn't make sense.
Malort is on a different level.
It's fun because it's grapefruit.
Wait, say that again?
It's like dandelions fermented and then grapefruit sour in there. Like, it's really, it's bile. It's bile.
If you're in Chicago, you got to try it, though.
You do.
There's a coin phrase.
You know, guys, what we should have done? Totally, for the podcast, anyone coming to Chicago, we should have just totally said, that's the best shot ever. You need to try it.
Oh, yeah.
All the hate mail we would get from that. Like, fuck you guys. I hate you.
You should try it.
So I'm actually gonna like pull this thing back for a second.
All right, your dad's back.
We've been talking for almost 10 minutes. What the fuck do you guys do?
This.
Yes, we sell flasks that look and feel like original Nintendo game cartridges.
Holy shit, it's a breakthrough.
Yes.
People now know what's going on.
No context.
Zero context. Yep.
We're a tattoo bar in Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Candice Washington.
I feel like you say look and feel, like the texture is actually an important...
It's important to me because it took a lot of my life.
Texture
hours,
it took,
hours,
you talk about
time go into that.
Stroking your NES.
It took like 2 hours to get the texture.
Do you have any idea like what it's like to talk with a Chinese contact and say like, this is what we want the outside to feel like?
It, that... In Japanese?
That does
so
not
So now we're getting
happen.
Racist.
Oh, Matt. And he's Japanese. Just so you guys know, the CEO is Japanese.
Tina's a sweetheart.
Speak something. Go ahead.
Go native.
Say the dad joke.
Don't worry, Mr. Roboto.
Gundadju, Gundadju.
Script the cat.
Tell him about the dad's cat.
Dad joke.
Dad joke. Dad joke. Dad joke. Dad joke. Dad joke. Dad joke.
I'm gonna say, 日本人に聞いてるのお客様ちょっと申し訳ございませんですけども、あの、ギャグは猫が寝込んだ。その、そのギャグだ。ごめんなさい、申し訳ないです。
Dude, I've heard that before.
Hey, Matt, was that an apology?
I apologized 4 times in that sentence.
That's classic.
Our CEO is notorious for being apologetic. Anything.
Well, sorry.
you got me.
All right, so going back to it, where did the concept of let's make a flask out of a cartridge
happen? I know. Can I tell it?
Go ahead.
Please.
Okay, so which one of you guys is the flight attendant?
Stewardess.
He's a stewardess.
I'm not going to say what airline.
I prefer stewardess.
Well, no, on private jets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
One of those kind of private.
So, really fancy stuff.
Yeah. So from what I understand, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, because I picture shit all the time.
Yeah.
So you guys are all sitting around drinking and going, if I was going to get some booze out of the plane, this is how I'd do it. Maybe not that redneck, but like that more or less.
I was seeing a lot of people sneak alcohol on the plane, and I thought, how would I do this inconspicuously?
And he went, I would take a game cartridge that's 30 years old that no one would ever think of.
That's full of some kid's spit from blowing him out.
And that's how I'd do it. Am I pretty close?
It was kind of like hide in plain sight sort of deal where it was like there's a veil you have as like a nerd slash geek that's sort of like if somebody sees that you have a game with you, then they're like, huh, that's weird. I know what that is, but... Why do you have that?
Why are
it's sort
you
of like,
that?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know 100% that was the reason why.
You are.
However, I've flown 3 times in my life.
What?
The last time I've ever flown was last August. Just so happens in my luggage was one of these full of booze that I didn't realize until I got down to Florida.
Nice.
Wow. So, it works.
That's what got through.
I'm not Malibu. Nope. Pink Whiskey is not an official stance to sneak this shit through TSA.
No, I'm not saying it, but I'm saying it works.
Wink, wink.
So your
Don't
concept,
say wink,
your concept of design works.
Whoa, this is why I'm going bald. Like, this is like...
You go to inkwhiskey.com/wink-wink.
What if he says wink, wink with quotation marks?
Wow.
He did air quotes around the wink,
like double negative.
Triple negative.
Yeah, let's go with that.
With a wink. With an actual wink.
What?
Wink, wink.
Okay.
I'm winking.
Saying wink, wink, air quotes, and winking. And a nudge, nudge.
Yeah. Wearing
in quotations, no nudging.
Wink, wink, wink.
Oh, my God.
Know what I mean? Right.
That's fuck Konami code. That's the new Ink Whiskey code. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, air quotes, wink.
So when you see anyone drunk on comics or Ink Whiskey at a convention... If you say that magical phrase...
Wink, wink, air quotes, nudge, nudge, wink...
Andrew will kiss you on the mouth.
can we say 10% off?
Yeah, fuck it. We'll
do
it.
That's cool.
Fuck it.
Bob? You gotta get it right.
Bob.
You gotta get it perfect, though.
Wink, wink, air quotes, nudge, nudge, wink.
Should I write that down?
Yes.
Yeah, because we should have heard that.
I don't know what you said.
Yeah, it wasn't recorded, so we don't remember.
Nudge, nudge, air quotes.
Oh, there's way too much noise going on. So that
wink, wink, nudge, nudge, air quotes, wink, nudge.
No.
No, it's wink, wink, nudge. Shit. Okay, just fuck it. Just do it. Just
hey, if you come to our booth and wink a ton, we'll give you...
So every person that comes to our booth and has a minor seizure...
Whoops, ass.
If you whoop, we'll enter that too.
If you bark at our booth, Yeah, you'll get 10% off.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, air quotes.
Wink.
Wink, wink.
That's it. That's the official it.
All right.
It won't work on our website, but it'll work at conventions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so any conventions through the 2015
I want
year?
A fucking we'll know t-shirt.
Okay, 2015 year, that is the secret code.
I want this t-shirt.
Hey, but this is...
I hope someone remembers.
Matt, we were talking about Triangle.
I know. Hey, what's our next convention, guys?
Philly!
Philly!
Wait,
when is Philly?
Philly's,
the weekend May before 7th. St. Louis.
I think it's May 7th.
Okay. Hey, it's right. It's the weekend before Memorial Day.
Thanks.
But it's always sunny.
But the weekend before
that's
Memorial
right.
Day.
You know what else
like
it is?
Wait, not or Labor Day. What's in May? What is
Memorial
that?
Memorial Day. Yeah. That's when my birthday is, bitches. What?
Happy birthday to you.
All right. So, okay. May 16th, no, I'm sorry, 15th, 16th, and 17th is Motor City Comic Con, where we will be with your flasks.
Yes. Killer. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Eric, wink, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yep,
wink.
And then, frontal pump. I don't know how you do that. But that's
I do. Yeah, forward, then. Forward, slash, up, down, enter, slash. Enter, tab. Hit the slash button on your controller.
I think
forward, forward, slash.
I think the thrust is the insert slot A to slot B.
Are you trying to say up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so you guys are going to be in Philly sometime in May.
It is May 7th.
You guys got any plans around the summer?
It's May 7th through the 10th.
Okay. And then,
just so everybody knows, Matt just counted on his fingers 7 to 10. That is what an associate's degree in poetry will get you.
Wow! Oh, speaking of poetry, I saw a great book here at the con today.
Yeah?
Actually, yesterday, take it back. But it was I Could Pee on This and Other Poems by Cats.
Oh my god.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. So
I can pee on this.
So you can get an associate's degree in poetry and start a company about flasks.
Yeah.
Or you could write
okay,
I can pee
all
on this.
Of that is I want to defend myself, but I feel like that's
go
wrong.
Ahead, I dare you. defend an associate's degree in poetry.
Alright. So can you got... wait. Can you defend it in haiku?
Oh,
No. Again.
All right, so we've heard the story of Matt trying to commit federal offenses of sneaking booze onto planes. How do the rest of you guys fill in with Ink Whiskey?
It was when he had so much momentum.
Oh my god.
Are you going through puberty?
He spiked.
It's the Malort. It's hard shit. All
right, guys, we now officially have Peter Brady on the show.
Why was it me? Bob has been squeaking
all day long. Let me talk really nice right now.
Yeah, you're so smooth. I feel like it was when Matt had so much momentum going, and like he almost like was... He had momentum going almost in spite of himself, and we're like, holy shit, he's going to wreck this thing. We got to sort of jump in and help him. Because like it was actually turning out pretty okay. So we're like, okay, actually this thing has wheels. He got his nephew to draw... Whoa, his nephew. His cousin. His cousin, right?
Yeah.
To draw some of like the labels, and we're like, all right, he's doing something with this. And he started the Kickstarter thing, right? And then people started like jumping on, and then we were like, hey, this is impressive, actually. Matt, way to go. But you need a lot of help. And we all sort of banded together, and we're all just friends, so it just made sense to just kick it together.
Now, I'm curious, how long have you guys all known each other?
While. It's a very connected network of friends. So
I mean, it all varies so much. Like, I knew, or not knew, but met David when he was like, I don't know,
who's Matt David?
Seven?
Yeah, your brother helped me beat the water level in Ocarina of Time.
Like,
back when it was... out.
Yeah. Like Matt, I've known for, I don't know, like
five or six years.
Yeah. So not very, I guess not very long in like my circle of friends.
I knew, Chris, I went to high school with Matt's wife and Andrew, and that was way before even Matt was in the picture, and he was friends with my friends when I moved back from Texas. And so
I didn't meet
like,
these guys until after my associate's degree in poetry.
Yeah. So that's how I'm connected to at least Andrew and Matt, and then just other connections from these guys. So it's just... Yeah, very big network of people.
Yeah. There's also a couple folks not with us at C2E2. We got kind of a big crew.
Give them a shout out? Can we, can we harmonize a shout out?
No, we could try. We're gonna try.
I'd love to see you guys all try to do the first name harmonizing
okay,
together.
Let's practice.
I'm gonna go high.
I need to know the name so I can get in on too.
Pat. We'll go Pat, Shane. No, hold on.
Shane.
They're gonna be bothered by the order
yeah,
no matter
true.
What it is.
So let's do
alphabetical.
Pat's already out.
Okay.
Okay, Pat.
I can't say Johnny, the alphabet, I'm drunk.
Johnny, it's Johnny Shane. Johnny Pat notes. Shane.
Johnny Pat Shane.
Johnny Matt. Matt.
No. Guys, he totally missed it, and I know our listeners did too. I go, I can't say the alphabet because I'm drunk. Matt goes, use your fingers to help.
Oh my god. So it's
Johnny Pat Shane.
One, two, three. Johnny Pat Shane. Wow. What is the speed we just went at?
It was wild. I was going slow, but I jumped in the
boat.
I know. Yeah, there you go.
I think we're like harmonizing.
So there are three others that are not here.
And I've got to know Johnny.
I already talked about Matt's nephew, Nat.
Yeah.
No, alright, so my cousin does all the artwork. His name's Nat Treffer, and he's like a freelance artist based out of Vancouver. He's technically the ninth member, but he's not very active in operations. So. You hear that, Nat?
Yeah. Alright, guys, so here's the real important shit. Why should people buy these flasks?
I don't know. We had somebody suggest a really good tagline slogan today.
Yeah.
David, you want to hit that? Like,
y'all hit it. It was actually really good. It was drink back your childhood.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Wait, which one of you again earlier was all about the hands?
This guy.
That's Bob.
Bob, okay.
Yes, sir.
So, speaking of the drink back your childhood, so we're going to get the kids settled down. We're telling the story.
There you go. I'm wild, man.
So way back in the day, my dad used to drink hands.
Okay.
And he used to let me drink, like sip the foam off the beer and all that. There's pictures of me in a fucking diaper with him and his buddies playing cards. They're holding the 12-ounce mug, up to my head, and it looks like I'm drinking out of a fucking garbage can.
Oh, my gosh.
Bob's
so, little hands on that mug.
I'm 5 years old. Dad's working on the deck outside, and he goes and he gets a hands, and he takes a sip, and he puts it down. He goes, he does some stuff, he turns around, and he goes, how's my beer? Looks over. And he looks over at me, and I've got the can tipped literally 180 degrees all the way up, and I put it down and go, ah. At five, I chugged a Hams. I'm a Hampian. Fuck it. Hams is good beer. I don't
Hampian?
Care.
Hampian?
Hampian.
Hampian. Like
champion. I am the Hampian of beer.
Follow him.
I don't know anything.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That explains a lot, actually.
It does. It does.
And here we are today.
Yeah.
It's still alive.
So, video games. What do you guys like to play? Childhood, whatever. You guys still playing old Nintendo, or just because this looks cool, is that's why you're doing
Bobby
it?
I should start us off.
I was just going to say, speaking of Bob,
yeah.
I'm big into original Nintendo and Super Nintendo. I've tried playing a Nintendo 64. And it didn't work out very well for me, so I...
Anything with a joystick.
I don't do joysticks.
Terrifying.
I don't do anything new.
He's a button
really?
Smasher,
like,
though. So
Super Nintendo.
PS4 we're on now. Like,
I've
you
never
know
played
that?
A PS1.
Holy fuck.
Like, I don't know.
I'm thinking like Encino Man. Like, where have you lived the last
shit.
10 years?
I tried a 64 and I wasn't into it. So, like...
that's where it stopped.
That's where it stopped. Like, I know what I like, and I like...
So basically what we're talking is that Bob wants, like, some Atari 2600 cigarette cases.
Yeah, dude, you should see the stacks of Atari 2600s.
Oh, you and I can go back and forth on that.
I have totes filling my garage filled with Ataris, Super Nintendos, original Nintendos, Segas.
E.T.
E.T.?
Yeah.
Buried in the desert of Las Vegas?
Yeah, did you see that documentary where they unburied that?
Yeah.
That was fucking crazy. That broke. Actually, last year at C2E2 here... we were hanging out with the guys from Dorkly. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
We're down at their booth when they go, holy fuck, what the hell just happened? And I go, wait, what? We were just like interviewing, talking. They tell us they just unearthed the mega pile of those ETs that were fabled to be buried. So that was a year ago
I don't know the number, but it was a really like 5% ET or something. It was all the other games, too. It's just a warehouse dump.
Okay, well, regardless,
though. But
they
got a lot of ETs out of it, and those sold for money.
Yeah.
I want to say
just awesome. Because of the legend, I would imagine. Like, oh, absolutely. Weren't you telling me it was an unfinished game or something like
no,
that?
Yeah, no, it pretty much was. They're like, here, well, it's good enough. Get
let's
out.
Pump it out so that we can, yeah. it can launch at the same time as the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, hey, kids will drink new Coke and play EP.
But
yeah.
the game is the game isn't as bad as people say it is. It's just like the legend has just spread.
All right, guys. So we've come
oh,
down
no,
to
I
it.
I want to hear everyone else's story.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, we
well, I want something to come of this real quick before we move on from Bob. I want someone out there to challenge Bob to a Dr. Mario match.
Dr. Mario's my jam, baby.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Literally, we hold tournaments, and Bob wins. Never
either
lost.
Bob or his friend John Linder. He's yeah. never won.
He's never won?
Dude, that
I've never lost.
That Dr. Mario music still haunts my dreams. I'm not lying.
I wrote lyrics to it when I was like six.
Hey, let's do it. Okay.
No.
Come on.
That's, come on, what come is on.
Yeah, it's purple and pink.
No, it's purple and pink. It's purple and he's back again. No, that's it. Sorry, that's a thing for me. But yeah, like I had lyrics, I used to sing along to it when I played it as a kid. And,
sorry, I got all excited because I'm like, there's a great big water bottle here with the Drunk Hunt label on it. And I'm like,
dude,
wait,
got
what?
Them everywhere.
Well, yeah, it's because you might have a couple extra labels laying around work. Yes.
Just in his garage.
I'm logistics, so everything, like, I touch everything and I save a little bit.
He's got a museum
easy.
Going on.
I have a girlfriend.
I think
she's never came.
We all generally have like sort of like this background in like retro games. Like I've always been a Mega Man guy. Like true. Thoroughly. My friend Nate back home. Every birthday he has, we just stay up all night. Like, yeah, and I try to beat a Mega Man game. And the newer ones are crazy. We were talking about last yeah. night, me and Tony. Like the 9 and 10 ones are pretty insane, but they're just so fun.
Actually, I actually do have a legit question for you.
Oh, because none of the other ones were legit questions.
No, I've been fucking off the whole time.
We haven't
the
even
real
started
podcast.
Yet.
Yeah,
started
this,
now.
This is just the real interview.
All right, so, we talked about Mega Man, we talked about Final Fantasy and all that. Have you thought about doing, like, maybe, like, a little fan-inspired or suggested contest or... Are there some titles that you guys want suggestions on that we can ask our listeners?
We can't figure something out for Metroid. That's, a tough one.
Metroid?
We have hold up. Do not suggest Metroid.
That's what we no have one would right suggest now. That because it's just the worst.
It's garbage.
Two people like rye.
Yeah, there's two people in the world that drink rye whiskey.
And one
Shane Sanders and yeah. his friend.
And no one understands.
And that's none of us.
No one understands the reference at Metroid. Like, Metroid. It just gets lost in the...
Yeah.
I have no idea, and I'm a drunk, so...
We have the artwork already for Metroid, but, like, the label... Like, the parody artwork is already good. It's not much to work with, but the name is a terrible... It's just not good.
Metroid. Yeah.
It's like Paperboy. There's like...
Excitebike.
Paperboy, Excitebike. Right.
Tecmo Bowl is a... Yeah.
Excite Drunk?
Wait, was Tecmo Bowl a Nintendo game?
Yeah.
The one that we've currently got coming in, which at least Bob was a huge proponent for... Is that right? Are we sure?
Yeah.
Can we share it here first?
Yeah.
There was a guy that backed us on Kickstarter for $250 or more dollars. That was where you got to pick your own label and then sort of go with it from there. And then he just went, he said, I want a Double Dragon parody.
Yeah.
And we actually came up with artwork already from back when the Kickstarter happened. We just haven't launched it yet. It's called Double Flaggin. And it's pretty good. Like, he's way into it. And he was like, we need to get a case of that at least. And we'll just see
and he's
how
not
it
into
does.
Anything. So that's
I
really
hate almost everything.
Yeah, he really
except
does.
For Pong. You and Pong.
Fuck
it's like
Pong. Dr. Mario, baby. Tetris.
When are we going to have Double
Tetris for
available?
Sure.
That'll be in this next shipment, which arrives on Monday.
So a while by the time this airs, Double Flaggin.
So in Motown Philly, we're going to have
back
Double Flaggin. Oh, I'm just saying.
Okay, well, I was just thinking.
Everyone in Philadelphia.
East Coast side.
Looking out for Double Flaggin.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at.
All right.
Yeah, Motown Philly, come on.
Jump
on
the wagon. We're all about it.
Yeah, East Coast family. Whatever. Yeah.
ABC, BBD, baby.
ABCCZBB.
All right, Tony, what else you got before we wrap
this
up? Because drinks are running dry, and that will never happen with us or Ink Whiskey, so...
I just have to say, I had the opportunity to party with them last night, and it was a fucking blast. Not to mention that I did have
free drinks on your guys' tab, so that was also a bonus for us. But
bonus for Tony. Tony loves more than anything free drinks.
Who doesn't?
I like free everything. But I could not think of a more better pairing of Drunk on Comics and Ink Whiskey. I do have to say, fucking change that name. But, however, what you guys do, your love of games and drinking, our love of drinking and comics, nerd culture, geek culture, whatever you want to call it, it meshes together so well that I've loved just being able to support you guys, selling your stuff, promoting you guys, and I'm glad
to
finally be...
Like the horse that we are. Yeah. Horse.
But we're fucking partying with you guys right now and actually having beers and hanging out.
Yeah.
This is what it's about.
I mean, I want to ride... Tony's dad made this ice slide.
Oh, my gosh. Best dad...
The suicide. Slide.
No, oh, yeah.
My,
yeah.
My dad's okay. Not my dad. He started it off as like, my dad's pretty cool or something like that. And then, go ahead.
Well, he's got like an ice skating rink for all of us. And he made like this slide that just, it's no big deal. It just goes from the roof of our house down to like, you know, like down to the
Chicago.
Ice skating
it
rink.
It goes from Grand Rapids to Chicago. Yeah. It's 386 miles long and he just does it.
So I just want to be friends with Tony so I can go on the suicide.
You guys are fucking invited. I'll let you guys know what Winterfest is. Fucking come to Grand Rapids.
Tony's dad, you heard it here first.
Get that sprinkler hose ready.
Sprinkler hose.
Here's the best thing. Tony's dad doesn't care. He's just like, hey, people, show up. It's legit.
Hey, I gotta say, that tab was actually not ours. That was at Geek Bar in Chicago, and Brittany hooked
great
us up,
bar,
and it was super
Brittany
dope. They just opened.
She has been great to us. We really do have to rep her for sure.
It's true. It just opened. It's a sick bar.
It's a great bar. Yeah, they just launched a new website today at noon, actually, so go check that out as well.
Do you know that you
we don't know what it is? Geekbar.com.
This is the simple part for our regular listeners, inkwhiskey.com. Go fucking buy shit from them. And you know what? Send them a little email, a little note, a little Twitter, a little Facebook, and go, Drunk on Comics sent you.
Absolutely. Awesome.
All right, guys. I love you guys.
Love you, Derek.
We're going to get drunker.
Yes.
Because we're already drunk. Well, I am. Fuck up.
We got to catch up.
I have one slice of pizza in my stomach, so let's do this.
Yeah. All right, guys. Go check them out. If you got suggestions on like Metroid, that's not hemorrhoid, you know, something like
hemorrhoid.
That'd be awkward.
Hey! Everybody, look at that!
Hey!
We spotted one in the wild.
Mask in the wild.
That's the first one I've seen in the wild. What's your name?
What? All right. We're gonna edit that out.
Yeah.
We didn't quite hear, but if you're good enough, you'll hear it. All right, guys. Inkwhiskey.com. Go send them some love.
Hey,
fuck
guys.
You guys. Let's go drink.
All right. All right.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hey.
Clink, 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 clink.
Hopefully you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Sharing a beer with a friend is always a tradition with Drunk on Comics at a convention, and it really brings out the best in all of us. Thanks again to C2E2 for having us, and keep your ears peeled for more interviews and mayhem as we embark on our adventures to Motor City Comic Con.